home.
ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजलि अश्लाकाय चक्षुरुं मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदेव गौरभक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. सो इन दिस मेथड आर यू एबल टू कॉन्टैक्ट शोभा रामती जी? अच्छा, सो शी रिस्पॉन्डेड बैक. हरि बोल. एंजल माता जी, हरे कृष्णा.
आई थिंक गॉट डिस्कनेक्टेड.
ओके ओके, सो लेट अस स्टार्ट विद.
या
व्हाट इज द प्रॉब्लम? लाइक योर नेटवर्क प्रॉब्लम इज ना?
Network problem, yeah,
Vodafone.
So I sent her the recording so far, whatever you have given, and she has said okay.
Acha, acha, okay, good. So she responded, no? Okay.
Haan ji, abhi tak ka bhej diya sir.
Okay, all right, thank you so much.
Haan ji.
Okay, so we'll start with 17th chapter, 24th verse. Tasmad om iti udharitya यज्ञ दान तप क्रिया प्रवर्तन्ते विधानोक्ता सततम् ब्रह्मवादिनम्. Therefore, transcendentally undertaking performance of sacrifice, charity and penance in accordance with scriptural regulations begin always with Om to attain the supreme. Om tad Vishnu paramam padam, Rigved 122:20. The lotus feet of Vishnu are the supreme devotional platform. The performance of everything on behalf of Supreme Personality of Godhead assure the perfection of all activity. Yeah, so last class, in the previous verse, the purport, Prabhupada is mentioning that all these sacrifices should be directed towards Om Tat Sat, which means towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here he is repeating the same thing. Okay, next. Ujjwala Mataji.
अनभिसंध्याया फलं यज्ञतपः क्रियाः दानक्रियाश्च विविधाः क्रियन्ते मोक्षकांक्षिभिः. Without desiring fruitive results, one should perform various kinds of sacrifice, penance and charity with the word tat. The purpose of such transcendental activities is to get free from material entanglement. Purport: to be elevated to the spiritual position, one should not act for any material gain. Act should be performed for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom, back to home, back to Godhead.
Okay. Okay, next. Rajiv Prabhu and Madhavi.
सद्भावे साधु भावे च सदेति एतत् प्रयुज्यते प्रशस्ते कर्माणि तथा शब्द पार्थ युज्यते यज्ञे तपसि दाने च स्थिति सदिति शोचयते कर्म चैव तद् अर्थीयां सद इति एवा भी धीयति. The absolute truth is the objective of devotional sacrifice, and it is indicated by the word sat. The performer of such sacrifice is also called sat, as are all works of sacrifice, penance and charity, which true to the absolute nature are performed to please the supreme person, O son of Pritha. Perfect. The word prashaste karmani, or prescribed duties, indicate that there are many activities prescribed in the Vedic literature which are purificatory processes, beginning from the time of conception up to the end of one's life. Such purificatory processes are adopted for the ultimate liberation of the living entity. In all such activities, it is recommended that one vibrate Om Tat Sat. The word Sadbhave and Sadubhave indicate the transcendental situation. Acting in Krishna consciousness is called Sattva, and one who is fully conscious of the activities of Krishna consciousness is called Sadhu. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the transcendental subject matter becomes clear in the association of the devotees. The words used are Satam Prasangat. Without good association, one cannot achieve transcendental knowledge. When initiating a person or offering the sacred thread, one vibrates the word Om Tat Sat. Similarly, in all kinds of performance of yajna, the objective is the supreme Om Tat Sat. The word Tad Arthiyam further means offering services to anything which represents the supreme, including such service as cooking and helping in the Lord's temple, or any other kind of work for broadcasting the glories of the Lord. These supreme words, Om Tat Sat, are thus used in many ways to perfect all activities and make everything complete.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So, in the association of devotees, Prabhupada mentions everything becomes clear. So, actually, when I was reading Bhagavatam today, Prabhupada actually mentioned the purpose that everything becomes clear when we, our transcendental subject matter can only become clear when we hear from pure devotees or the devotees who are representing the parampara. Otherwise, one cannot understand anything about spiritual life. So, just by mere book knowledge, one cannot realize and understand anything. So it is actually necessary that the transcendental subject matter should be heard and it should be learned from proper bona fide sources. Basically pure devotees and devotees who are coming in parampara. So if we repeat the message of the Lord, of the Guru and the parampara, then even though we are not liberated, but we act on a liberated platform because the words of Guru Shabda Sastra, they are liberated. They are not contaminated actually, and the three modes of material nature cannot touch it. So these are transcendental vibrations, and whenever a devotee will repeat these transcendental vibrations, then it will have effect. So everything is realized about the Sastra only through the blessings and mercy of a pure devotee. So what is to be done, what is not to be done, we know that scriptural intention will be there. There are many heavy statements in the scriptures and there are very extreme statements in the scriptures. So one should know how to reconcile them and apply according to time, place, circumstance. So that can only be done through the help of a guru. Okay. So any question or comment? See, that is the reason I was just sharing with one devotee that what is the most important form of attachment in spiritual life? To what should we get most attached to?
Devotional service. Devotional service.
Okay, somebody said something else.
Angel said Sadhu Sangha.
Yeah. So Sadhu Sangha, so basically it means that we should actually, the most attachment has to be for the sadhus. That is actually the real thing. Because you might get attached to the other process of devotional service. And if it is more than the attachment to Guru, then also it creates problem. It creates obstacle. And it also makes us pride in the process. Because unless we learn from a devotee, we can actually not advance in spiritual life. And Srimad Bhagavatam very clearly states that unless we take the dust of a pure devotee and smear on the body, there is no possibility of advancement in spiritual life. So this is the theme and foundation of spiritual life right from the beginning, that the shelter of Sadhu and the shelter of Guru, or which means basically not to be attached to the instructions of the Guru, or to make the instructions of Guru number one priority. That is actually most important. Okay, now, you know, when I was discussing this with one devotee, so the context was that, you know, some devotees can be more attached to learning Shastras, or they would like to read Shastra, learn Shastra from someone. But the point is that, you know, even if they are more attached to Shastra, studying Shastra, or learning, you know, different forms of devotional services, if they are most attached to them rather than the sadhus or the guru who is giving knowledge, then what will happen? The full effect will not be realized. Because only the guru and the sadhu can know what the devotee needs at that particular time. See, there are devotees who can show enthusiasm for certain devotional practices, but as we know that over a period of time, the enthusiasm will go down and they are not even steady in their bhakti. So apparently and externally, they might show symptoms of attachment for a particular limb of bhakti, but it will not be sustained unless and until they receive proper guidance from the sadhus and they implement in their life. Because Krishna consciousness is extremely complicated. I mean, Prabhupada said that it is easy for the, it is complicated for the complex and simple for the simple, like that, he said. So, so Krishna consciousness can get very complicated also many times. The problem is that there are, you know, too many things, too much variety is there in terms of receiving instruction, in terms of mood, in terms of Shastra also, too much extreme statements, varieties there. It can get very confusing and complex also. But the most easiest way for a devotee, if they simply have faith in their guru and they follow that, so then things become very simple. Otherwise, it will all become complex, right? Because over a period of time, you know, as in how you perform bhakti, you'll face many obstacles, you'll face challenges, or you know, Krishna will send a lot of tests also. So that time, what to follow, what not to follow, what to do, what not to do, how to balance things, how to behave, these things are actually best guided by the Guru. So the Guru is actually training us, he's purifying us, so that he can present us to Krishna. So, you want to offer something to the Lord. So what will you do? The first and foremost thing is that, let's say, for example, if you want to offer some vegetable or some fruit from the farm, so you will pluck it from the ground, or, you know, and then what you will do, the first thing you will do is wash it thoroughly, right? Then you will cut it nicely. And with the nice, good consciousness, you will offer it to the Lord, right? So there are so many processes involved in this. And the most important is that you cannot offer something which is contaminated to the Lord, right? So a guru cannot offer a contaminated disciple to the Lord. The guru has to actually purify us. And so it is necessary that every devotee has to undergo the process of anartha nivritti. Okay. And so without anartha nivritti, steadiness cannot come. So steadiness can only come at the stage of after crossing anartha nivritti. And then after you attain steadiness in your practices, now in all these stages, it does not mean that after you have become steady, that means now you don't need any instructions from the Guru. The instruction of Guru will help you till the stage of bhava and prema. So that is always going to be there. What becomes is that your bhakti becomes more spontaneous as you cross the stage of nishtha. Because once you are determined in your practices, your study, then you will get taste also. And that taste is also obtained by the mercy of Guru. Because the Guru is pleased, that's the reason the Lord will give taste. So even devotees who are, like, you know, there are Mayavadis also, there are non-devotees also, who have been practicing the lens of bhakti for a long time, but they don't get any taste. They are just doing it as a ritual, like, you know, because they have the Lord in their house, so, you know, a matter of duty, they do it every day. But their mind consciousness is nowhere. They are like, mostly they're thinking about how to earn money, how to expand more and more comforts and facilities. And everything is centered around gossip and all that. So they are like, you know, these are like karmi people. And their consciousness is not like that. But still you'll see that they will develop that steadiness in their practices. Because they are, right from the beginning, their ancestors have been doing that. So as a matter of passing down in the lineage, they will also do it. So it becomes a ritual. And so it is, you know, it is obvious that, so sometimes the steadiness can be confusing. And that is the reason, one of the most important symptoms of steadiness is anartha nivritti and taste for the Lord, you know, the process of Krishna consciousness. So that you can only attain when you have a guru. You cannot, and see, because your doubts and obstacles should be destroyed. Now many of these, in the Lord. Okay, faith is very weak actually. So you can say these are like Kanishta Bhaktas. So they only think that the Lord is present in the temple, but they don't properly discriminate and they don't give proper respect to the devotees. So, the real symptom of Nishta is that, you know, a devotee will surely undergo anartha nivritti. The faith will also become strong, you know, that is a symptom of Nishta. And they also start developing some taste. Okay? So, this is only possible when we become, when we give first priority to the instructions of the Guru, more than anything else, above anything else in spiritual life. Okay, because entire transcendental subject matter is revealed to us only by the spiritual master. Okay, so I hope this is clear. Anyone has any question or comment? So, although devotees might have greed and they are enthusiastic about certain limbs of bhakti, but these limbs of bhakti, they cannot give full effect and result unless you surrender to a guru or, you know, follow some pure devotee or some devotee who is representing the parampara. So see, what happens is, you know, like, if we are, and see now, even though we are undergoing the shastra, like we are doing shastra every time, regularly, you know, sometimes devotees want to jump, you know, certain devotees, you know, they will say that, well, I don't want to go through the Srimad Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. I want to know the Chaitanya Charitamrita, or I would like to read advanced topics. So that kind of enthusiasm and greed is actually, it's a good thing, but it should be directed properly. So Prabhupada has given a standard. And another thing one has to remember, that whatever you think, whatever you feel, that I am attached to this limb of bhakti, but that limb of bhakti is explained by someone. It is given by someone. Okay. And that someone is actually the guru. So here also, when we are discussing the Bhagavad Gita, what we are doing? We are getting knowledge from Prabhupada. Otherwise, if you remove the purports, just go through the translation. See, translation also Prabhupada is given in a very personal way. Okay, rather than impersonal. In fact, even after going through the Bhagavad Gita with his purports, you cannot understand many things. So what to speak of just going through the translation. So this knowledge is revealed to us by the Guru, and that is the reason we are indebted to the Guru more than anything else. Because he is the one who is attaching us to these processes. He is increasing our faith in these processes. He is making us steady and he is purifying us. Okay, so the limb of bhakti will not do that in itself, unless like you are Anitya Siddha or a self-realized soul or a friendless chanter, no? Then everything will be revealed to you. to the process. But with the, you know, as long as we are not on that stage, the Guru's, you know, mercy always comes first. Okay, and his words and instructions always come first. So if we disregard his instructions and do not follow, and if we think that we are, you know, still we are attached to certain things, that's actually an illusion. We cannot get the result of that. Now, you know, the devotee who was talking to me about being attached to a particular shastra or, you know, being dedicated, but the problem was that the devotee was not steady. You know, whenever there was some obstacle, the devotee was not able to chant their own properly. So, it's obvious from this kind of, you know, sadhana that the devotee has to develop faith in the process. Because whenever obstacle will come, you know, there will be discouragement and enthusiasm goes down. So that, in order to keep it steady, you know, we have to hear from Guru and we have to take his guidance. Okay, so does this make sense to everyone? The most important attachment is to the Guru, okay, to the sadhus. So all other attachments are secondary. Okay, and when you attain perfection, all these attachments become primary, because obviously, you know, the Guru's role is over. Like, he has made you perfect. And then after that, there is whatever is, you know, it is between you and Krishna, so directly. So the limbs of bhakti, they become prominent, they come in the forefront that time. Okay? But as long as we are conditioned, we have to keep following the instructions of the Guru. So any comment or question? One more very important thing, you know, many times devotees, they have this, maybe they have this, some kind of feeling, you know, like I will not say it is conviction, but they have this feeling that Krishna has arranged, or maybe Krishna is doing this, Krishna is doing that. But please mind, you know, that it's not like that. Don't think like that. After a number of years, things will be revealed to you, whether it was Krishna's arrangement or whether it is your own desire. So in the name of Krishna, we should not try to, you know, satisfy our desires.
Yeah, if we are approaching the subject only with the desire to have association of devotees and progress on Krishna consciousness, and then things just come your way, then would you not take that as a signal or direction which is being set by Lord himself?
Sorry, I did not get your question.
You said, na, in due course, you will come to know it is our own desire, and not necessarily we should think that it is Krishna's arrangement.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that if our basic desire is to have association of devotees, of pure devotees, and progress on the path of Krishna consciousness,
So that
is the basic desire, then whatever comes your way can be a path which is being set by Lord himself.
No. But see, that is the problem. The test of this will be whether you are, you know, okay, so you said that whatever will come in the path, it is Krishna's desire only, right? But then Krishna's desire is that you surrender to a guru. So the test will be, are you willing to follow that desire of Krishna, that you have to surrender to a guru, or you are open to accept the authority of a devotee, superior devotee? Are you willing to do that? If you are doing that, then basically I will tell you one thing, that there are two ways. Krishna's desire can be understood only through the representative, or you can say the Guru Sadhu Shastra. So if you are following Guru Sadhu Shastra, then that is Krishna's desire. Yeah, then that is true. But if you are not following Guru Sadhu Shastra, then it is your desire. So then you should not feel that, oh, maybe this is arranged by Krishna or this is what Krishna wanted. No, how do you know that? How do you confirm that?
Correct.
So like, you know, there are certain challenges in our Krishna consciousness or our material life also, certain changes in our material life. Now, if you have not consulted, like so certain important changes that we do in our material life, if you don't consult any devotee, and then you say that, oh, it is Krishna's arrangement, you know, this is how like I feel, that is completely, you know, it is not right. How do you know that it's Krishna's arrangement? It is your desire probably. You want it. So you are just giving the name of Krishna. Like, you know, sometimes devotees, they get married to like devotee partners, and they think that, you know, this is probably Krishna's arrangement. But then after a few years, when the relationship does not go well, you know, they start thinking, actually, I was wrong. You know, maybe it was not Krishna's desire, or maybe I did, you know, because of my immaturity or some wrong decisions, you know, like I've got married to this person. So then we don't think, oh, it was like Krishna's arrangement. So, see, Krishna's arrangement or Krishna's desire is a very simple desire, that we all become pure devotees of the Lord. Now, Krishna's desire for everyone is that everyone comes to the level of sannyasa.
Okay.
Right? Everyone become a brahmachari, take sannyas. You know, that is pure devotional service, like very shortcut process. Why one has to go undergo the grihastha ashram and all that? It's a very entangling process, very, advancement is very gradual, takes a longer time, and so many problems, you know. So entering grihastha ashram is not Krishna's desire, it is our desire. So don't blame that, it was Krishna's desire, I have to enter grihastha ashram. But you have to be honest, you know, certain things. If you enjoy the material world, be honest. Yeah, I want to, I like it, I am doing it. That's why it is my desire. Don't blame Krishna. Don't involve Krishna in that unnecessarily. So when he will show his desire, no, that time you will have to surrender everything. So we should not act on that platform. Okay? So whether it is Krishna's desire or not, that will be proved with time. Obviously, when a devotee, sincere devotee, see, that's the reason I'm telling this point again and again, that the most important thing is that if you follow the authority of some devotees, then whatever arrangements are happening, that is Krishna's desire. You can say like that. Because if you are, there is some important changes, or there are certain important things that one has to consider, because, you know, you take some, let's say you take a major step, you know, in your spiritual life or in a material life. Now, you have to analyze it by checking how it will affect our sadhana, how it will affect our Krishna consciousness. If you don't do that, and if you assume that, I have taken decision, so, it's Krishna's choice, it is Krishna's mercy, or it is his arrangement. But how do you know, if you have not taken guidance from any devotees, you take that step, and that in the later period, it will affect your Krishna consciousness, then you repent, or you think, was it really Krishna's arrangement? So, and maybe our desire is not so strong to advance in spiritual life. So, that is the reason whenever we take some very important steps, if we are really sincere, we are really humble and honest, we have to take advice and we have to follow that advice. Otherwise, accept it that it is my choice. And then later, you have to take the responsibility, and obviously, you know, once you realize that you committed a mistake, you have to then take proper guidance of devotees. So obviously we are not talking about small things in our day-to-day activities and all. But whenever there is a major, there should be the facility or the circumstances should favor you to give you ample opportunity to advance in spiritual life. Not that you become discouraged or your enthusiasm goes down. So that has to be taken into consideration. Okay, so this path is always the safest path, that if you take any major step, you always consult devotees. So devotees' blessings means, it's not like, you are taking some decisions and then you say, this is the thing and, please give your blessings and, please. That is nonsense. That does not work like that. When you are, so what will the devotee say? You have already taken decision, okay. all success to you, all glories to you. But what is the real blessing? The real blessing is that they will tell you if it is wrong or right. And you know, whether you are able to accept it or not. If you are not able to accept it, then what blessings you are expecting from them? They just see, this is the problem in India generally. Majority of the Hindus or, you know, Indian people, they just want to make a show of devotion. That is our, maybe it is conditioned in our blood and all. You know, like we are just doing it as a formality. It's a ritual thing, kind of thing. But if as sincere and serious devotee, they want to make advancement, all their decisions will be based on this factor, whether Krishna is the most important thing for them or not. And they will make the choices accordingly. Right? So does this make sense to everyone?
So
the real blessings of a devotee is actually their unconditional desire to see you advance in spiritual life, and depending on that, they should give instruction, and one has to follow that. That is the real blessing. So now it is also mentioned that the real blessing is also chastisement of the devotees, because the chastisement will actually it's a show of our devotee for his disciple, you know, that they love the disciple. Like, because who will chastise, you know? Like, see, if a person is unknown to you, you will not even bother about the person. You will not even tell anything. But if someone is close to you, you will have that freedom to chastise them, because you want them to improve, you know, and they are very dear and close to you. So that's the reason chastisement has to be there. So, but if the guru will act very neutrally, you know, then it proves that the guru is actually not concerned about us, no longer. Okay, so that is a very it's a very, you know, unsafe position. So you know, all these things are very important actually. Like, so let me give one example. You know, like in our Thursday class in the Nirjala Ekadashi, I gave some example of Radhanath Maharaj, like personal exchanges with me. So this time I wanted to share one more example of a, you know, Maharaj personal exchange with a devotee, because talking about some, you know, neutral response from Guru Maharaj, right? So it reminds me that, you know, one of our senior Godbrothers, so actually he, like Maharaj used to go to his house very regularly, very frequently. Because he was in charge of Back to Godhead magazines in Hindi. Like, you know, he was the one who started in India. So he was like the chief one, you know, in India. And so Maharaj was like regularly visiting him. And he also stayed in his house for many, many days. Like, there's been a lot of association in the earlier days. So one time, and you know, because of that, the relationship becomes very close. In fact, he's such... very sweetly, you know, physically he has like chastised him by pulling up his ears and twisting his cheeks, you know, and like that. Small things. But still, you get that physically, that is very rare actually from the guru. So he's such a, you know, very, very fortunate and very special soul to get that kind of mercy from Maharaj. So he, you know, when, and then obviously, you know, as you come close to the guru, or some, you know, advanced Vaishnav, then, you know, you have to pay the price also. So it means that no more glorification, you know, only chastisement. So after some time, you only receive chastisement. And in between, some glorification for encouragement, you know. But actually speaking, you know, majorly it will be like chastisement only. Okay, so Prabhuji, you know, he was during one Janmashtami, Maharaj had you know, Maharaj, like, somehow we observed that he's not present in the temple. And then after a few days, you know, after Janmashtami, so Maharaj, he went to him and he told him, like, so where were you? Like, I didn't see you. And then he said, Maharaj, actually I was, so, you know, he got afraid because, like, he knew that Maharaj will immediately chastise me now. So he said, actually, Maharaj, I was not, you know, in the DT, this thing, in the DT courtyard, but I was, like, near the bookstall. So then Maharaj said that actually I also had gone to the bookstall, but I didn't see you. So where were you? And then this devotee, you know, again, like, he was, like, afraid, and then he started saying, actually, Maharaj, I was talking to this devotee and, like, somewhere here and all. So Maharaj said, okay. And then he left. And then after a few days, Maharaj was, you know, he gave a class in Radharas Devi temple in Jhu. And yeah, but before that, so sorry, this was not after a few days, this was like after a couple of months. So whenever Prabhuji went to temple, Maharaj ignored him like anything. He didn't see him, he didn't talk to him, and he didn't even reciprocate with his gestures, okay? So Maharaj, like, completely ignored him. So this is like, you know, he became very neutral. Okay? He didn't say anything, he didn't give any response and reaction. So Prabhuji got really upset. You know, like, I think it happened for like 4-5 months. Maharaj completely ignored him. Because actually he had lied. That is the reason. And Maharaj obviously understood that. So that is the reason he was, like, avoiding him for a couple of months. And so after a few months, then, you know, Maharaj came to the Jhu temple, and he was supposed to give a class. So then his mother, who is also Radhanath's disciple and very senior devotee also, so she was telling him that, so Maharaj is giving class, why are you here? You are supposed to go and attend his class. And so Prabhuji was very reluctant, and he was saying that, I don't want to meet Maharaj, you know, because, like, he is ignoring me, and I don't want to meet now. Okay. So then, like, Mataji was explaining to him that, do you know what is the meaning that Guru has come here and you are avoiding him? Like, so, you know, I'm telling you that you have to go and you should go and you should attend his class. So somehow he went. Okay. And when he came to the class, Maharaj also saw him, but he ignored again, you know, as usual. And then Maharaj, when he started the class, the entire class was based on a disciple lying the guru. The entire theme of the class. So he gave the entire class on how a devotee shouldn't lie to a spiritual master. And then Prabhuji, you know, he actually really, you know, one thing he very much appreciated, that the, you know, the guru, he can actually understand things. And, like, you know, he can easily know and understand a disciple's heart. So he actually, he was transformed. And he understood and realized that he committed a mistake. And so the guru is so merciful that he is actually teaching me in the class. Okay. So then he went to Maharaj after the class and he told him, Maharaj, actually I'm really, like, I apologize, you know, and I had lied to you. And so actually I was not, you know, I didn't come to the temple. I was in the home. I was resting. And you know what was Maharaj's response? Amazing response. See, normally what will you say? Why you didn't come? Why you lied to me? You know, now you have to get some kind of punishment, or, you know, generally the guru will chastise the disciple more. But you know what he said? He said, you know, first of all, he laughed. Okay, because obviously, you know, Prabhuji was, like, very dear to Maharaj. So he laughed, he embraced him, and he told him that, don't worry, your house is also a temple. You know, such a beautiful reciprocation by Maharaj. But Prabhuji got the lesson and he realized that one should not lie to the guru. Okay. So the message is that, you know, when the guru will ignore you, that is something that you will not be able to digest. When the guru will chastise you, you will be able to at least know that, okay, guru is concerned about me, careful about me, or, like, you know, he is so caring about me. But when someone will ignore, or become neutral, then it is you know, the it's a sign of no mercy. You know, no mercy is exhibited here. So like that. Okay. So any comment or question? I hope you are liking, you know, some Radhanath Maharaj pastimes, which I recollect, you know,
yes,
according
yes,
to the context. Yeah. So. Okay. All right. So next to us. So who read this? Rajiv Prabhu. You have, no, Angel Mataji read, right? Yeah. So Rajiv Prabhu's turn.
अशुद्धाय हुतं दत्तं तपस्तप्तं कृतं च यत् असद् इति उच्यते पार्थ न च तत्प्रेत्य नो इह. Anything done as sacrifice, charity or penance without faith in the Supreme, O Son of Parth, is impermanent. It is called asat and is useless both in this life and the next. Purport. Anything done without the transcendental objective, whether it be sacrifice, charity or penance, is useless. Therefore, in this verse, it is declared that such activities are abominable. Everything should be done for the Supreme in Krishna consciousness. Without such faith and without the proper guidance, there can never be any fruit. In all the Vedic scriptures, faith in the Supreme is advised. In the pursuit of all Vedic instructions, the ultimate goal is the understanding of Krishna. No one can obtain success without following this principle. Therefore, the best course is to work from the very beginning in Krishna consciousness under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. That is the way to make everything successful. In the conditional state, people are attracted to worshipping demigods, ghosts or yakshas like Kuvera. The mode of goodness is better than the modes of passion and ignorance. But one who takes directly to Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all three modes of material nature. Although there is a process of gradual elevation, if one, by the association of pure devotees, takes directly to Krishna consciousness, that is the best way. And that is recommended in this chapter. To achieve success in this way, one must first find the proper spiritual master and receive training under his direction. Then one can achieve faith in the Supreme. When that faith matures, in the course of time, it is called love of God. This love is the ultimate goal of the living entities. One should therefore take to Krishna consciousness directly. That is the message of this 17th chapter.
Yeah. So see, I was sharing in the previous verse how the most important form of attachment is to the Guru, and Prabhupada here is mentioning the same thing at the end. So, and obviously I did not read this purport also. So, you know, like, so it is confirming my, you know, conviction also that the Prabhupada says, you know, in the first paragraph, which are the best course is to work from the very beginning in Krishna under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. That is the way to make everything successful. And then in the second paragraph also it says the same thing. One must find proper spiritual master and receive training under his direction. Then one can achieve faith in the Supreme. So what is the meaning of this? Before his guidance and training, one does not even have the faith in the Supreme. So after receiving the guidance, the faith matures. And then, you know, Shraddha to Prema, like that. So, you know, in all of Prabhupada's teachings, the essence and the basic concept of spiritual life, you know, he has mentioned that ultimately it is sincerely to follow the spiritual master's instructions. And to this regard, I can give one example which Prabhupada had shared in one letter, written letter, that he was comparing that how when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he sent his disciples to London. So one of the disciples was Swami Bond Maharaj, okay? And so when he went to London for 3 years, he was trying his best. Now see, he's a Swami, he's a sannyasi. So generally the potential of a sannyasi is actually much greater than a grihastha, right? But he went to London and he was trying according to his conventional ways, but he was not successful. So finally, Prabhupada writes that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur got disgusted and then he called him back. Okay, and then Prabhupada glorifies his disciples saying that, but our 6 disciples, they have gone to London and they are so successful in teaching. And then after that Prabhupada writes, and what is the reason of this success? Because they had implicit faith in my instructions. So that is the key of spiritual life. The potency, the purity, everything comes from that. So, and in each and every letter, Prabhupada always mentions this point, that those who have implicit faith in the spiritual master and the Lord simultaneously, all the purpose of Vedas are revealed to such persons, and they are the most sincere devotees. So now here you say, you can compare that these grihasthas, they are not even following certain standards. They were chanting 16 nouns, regulative principles they were following, but obviously they are not at the level of a sannyas devotee. Sannyas devotee means they are like very renounced, they are very exalted in their stature compared to a grihastha. But because Prabhupada's potency was present in them, and that potency only manifested because they wanted to go to any extent to please Prabhupada. So that's the reason they were successful. So do you know, anyone knows who are the 6 disciples? One of the earliest disciples of Prabhupada.
Is it Tamal Krishna Maharaj?
No. Ujjwala Madhuri?
Krishna?
Yeah.
Hayadeva?
No. Do you know Madhuri?
Prabhu, can you repeat, Prabhu?
Yeah, so did you hear I was sharing a letter of Prabhupada.
Prabhu, my net in between half a minute just disconnecting and getting connecting, Prabhu, from the beginning.
Okay. So, I was sharing how devotees who have implicit faith in the spiritual master, they attain all success. So I just gave an example which Prabhupada gave in the letter to one of his disciples, comparing disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, who is Swami Bond Maharaj, who had gone to London to preach, but because of his conventional style, he was not successful. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur called him back, and then Prabhupada writes that, but 6 of my disciples, they have gone to London, and they are doing really good. They are preaching nicely. So they have attained success. And then Prabhupada writes, so what is the reason of their success? So it is because they had implicit faith in my instructions. And they had the desire to follow my instruction to any extent. They wanted to please me to any extent. So who are the 6 disciples in London? Very popular. One of the earliest disciples of Prabhupada. I mean, I think everyone, every devotee generally knows about these 6 devotees who went to London, who started the preaching there. So this is Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Malati Mataji, Gurudas Prabhu, Yamuna Mataji, Mukunda Maharaj now, and Janki Mataji. Right? So these are the 6 ones who started preaching. And Shyam Sundar Prabhu was very influential, he got George Harrison also in Krishna consciousness. So that time, these devotees were empowered by Prabhupada, and even though they were grihasthas, they were just practicing for maybe 2 years or something. Okay, and you know, Swami Bhavan Maharaj was a sannyasi disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta, god brother of Prabhupada. He must be practicing Krishna consciousness for so many years. But he was not successful. Right? So this is the key. So if you have that faith in the spiritual master, then impossible becomes possible. So Prabhupada said many times that impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So anything is possible, because when you are determined, then Krishna will empower you. So he will make the impossible possible. And there is one particular example from Shastra about this. Anyone remembers that example? It was an example of a bird. It was an example of a bird and I think it was a fish probably, gigantic whale or a fish. So, anyone remembers? It's a Shastric example. Prabhupada often quotes this example to show the determination of a devotee and then show that how the Supreme God himself will provide help if a devotee is extremely determined.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Sorry Prabhu, again got disconnected and joined.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I was just talking about example Prabhupada often quoted about the devotee's determination. You know, like there is, he gave this example of a bird, a sparrow, who is challenging the ocean. Yeah, yeah. I remember the entire this thing. So if you remember, you know, this is a story example Prabhupada often quoted. So what is that story? Mm-hmm. The story of bird and the ocean, or the sparrow and the ocean. Yeah, so do you know that?
Yeah, Prabhu, it's in Bhagavad Gita, no? He gives in the chapter name, I forgot, but he gives that the sparrow lays eggs at the ocean bank and the ocean takes away the water and it will ask, but the ocean, when it doesn't reply, it says that I'll remove the water with my little beak. When it starts doing that, it attracts the attention of everybody. Initially, everybody laughs at her and discourages, but finally, the dedication and the efforts are attracted by Garuda, and it comes and it then it says the ocean, like, if you don't help that little that bird, sparrow, I'll engulf all the water. Then the ocean gives back that, what do you call, the eggs back.
Right,
to the sparrow.
Yeah, so the Lord sends Garuda to help. So Garuda actually, so see, basically we realize one thing, that we are insignificant, like the sparrow, and we cannot do anything on our own. So we require the higher power for that. And the higher power is the spiritual master's mercy, you know, which will connect us to the Lord's mercy like that. So this is an example that Prabhupada often quoted. Okay. So the success is guaranteed, you know, if we just have implicit faith in the instruction of spiritual master. Okay. So the attachment to the guru is the a sense of everything. It is the most important thing. Okay. So you might have your own liking, disliking about certain things, but if the guru wants you to do certain things, you have to do it. Okay.
I think Shyam Sundar Prabhuji is the same Shyam Sundar Das who had come last year for promoting the book.
Choosing Rhinos with Swami.
Choosing Rhinos, yeah.
Yeah, he's the same, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I have the book in my hand right now. I just thought Shyam Sundar, I've heard the name, let me check.
correct, yeah, he's the same. And I have read that book also. Like, I think last year only I finished that book. So he's also going to write another volume on that. So
okay. So he was very modernly dressed. He was in a jeans and t-shirt and that style.
Correct. Yeah. So actually, see, his story is that, so these were like the earliest disciples. And Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Janki Mataji, Yeah, so they both actually, they led Krishna consciousness at certain point of time in the future, after the disappearance of Prabhupada. But they again came back. Like, I don't know about Janki Mataji, but Shamsundar Prabhu came back. And Radhanath Maharaj played a very, very important instrumental role to get him back. So, like, you know, many times he has said that I see Prabhupada in Radhanath Maharaj. Like, he says openly this thing. So, and Janki Mataji, she had some problem during Prabhupada's time itself, because there was one letter, there was an exchange of this thing that Prabhupada was actually requesting Janki Mataji not to leave, because she wanted to leave Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada was like requesting her to not to leave it. So, and Mukundam Maharaj, you know, he had like Mukund Prabhu, he has become Maharaj. So, Mukund Goswami, I think. And Gurudas Prabhu, yeah, Gurudas Prabhu also, you know, he had also left in between. And then again he came back. So, you know, like Shamsundar Prabhu was actually one of the secretaries of Prabhupada. You know, he used to travel with Prabhupada also. He had a lot of personal association with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada had, you know, he had bestowed a lot of special mercy to Shamsundar Prabhu also. So, but still, you know, like, so you can actually, from this example, one can understand that in spite of having the Guru's most intimate association and his special mercy, a devotee can still, like, no, they can still deviate from the path. So that basically shows that everyone has a free will. Okay, and the free will means, you know, it also depends on how we are following the instructions of the Guru, you know, for the lifetime. Because Guru instruction, it is not just for a couple of years. We have to follow it. You know, and the most important instruction is basically, you know, the chanting of 16 rounds and following iterative principles. So as you deviate, that is the most basic and most foundational instruction, especially the 16 rounds of chanting. If one deviates from that, then no matter whatever you are, whatever how much association you got, you can still deviate. So yeah, so initially, you know, they were empowered, but later on things happened like that. But finally, because of Prabhupada's special mercy, they again came back. Yeah, so, you know, if you observe one thing about Prabhupada disciples, is that not that every Prabhupada disciple wears dhoti and kurta. So, you know, it is because just because of their Western culture. So, like, you'll find that they might wear kurta and they might wear pajamas, or they might wear shorts also sometimes in the temple. Like, I was, you know, I had associated Prabhupada disciples in Alachua. So I know, like, so many Prabhupada disciples, they had some, you know, different styles and everything. But the common fact remains that they were all dedicated and surrendered to Prabhupada. So that is what is most important thing. The rest of the things are like detailed things. Yeah, but I think every devotee has their personal inspiration also. So it is like that. Okay, so since you have understood the need of surrender to Guru, we are at the right chapter. We are at the conclusion, and the conclusion will speak about that only. Okay, so as we know, the essence of Bhagavad Gita is in 1866. You know, it's one of the most important verses. So, and this 1866 is Sarva Dharman Parityaja Maham Ekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tva Sarva Papebhyo Mokshami Masucha. Right? So obviously there are other important slokas also, and this is the gist of the entire Bhagavad Gita, the conclusion. So, it's very important to us. So any comment or question till now?
No problem.
Okay. All right, let's start with 18th chapter now. Okay, so Jigna Madhavi, are you there?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, so yeah, you can start with the first verse.
Okay. Okay, chapter 18, verse number 1. Arjuna uvacha sanyasya mahabaho tattvam icchami veditum tyagasya cha hrishikesha parthakeshi nishudana. Arjuna said, O mighty Amvan, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation, tyaga, and of the renounced order of life, sannyasa, O killer of the Kesi demon, master of all the senses, purpose. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita is finished in 17th chapter. The 18th chapter is a supplementary summarization of the topics discussed before. In every chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna stressed that devotional service under the Supreme Personality of the Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. This same point is summarized in 18th chapter as the most confidential part of knowledge. In the first 6 chapters, stress was given to devotional service. Yogi nam api sarvesham, of all yogis or transcendentalists, one who always thinks of me within himself is best. In the next 6 chapters, pure devotional service and its nature and activity were discussed. In the third 6 chapters, knowledge, renunciation and the activities of the material nature and transcendental nature and devotional service were described. It was concluded that all acts should be performed in conjunction with the Supreme Lord, represented by the word Om Tat Sat, which indicates Vishnu, the Supreme Person. The third part of Bhagavad Gita has shown that devotional service and nothing else is the ultimate purpose of life. This has been established by citing past acharyas and the Brahma Sutra, the Vedanta Sutra. Certain impersonalists consider themselves to have no monopoly on the knowledge of the Vedanta Sutra, but actually the Vedanta Sutra is meant for understanding devotional service, for the Lord himself is the composer of Vedanta Sutra and he is its knower. That is described in the 15th chapter. In every scripture, every Veda, devotional service is the objective. That is explained in a Bhagavad Gita. As in the 2nd chapter, a synopsis of the whole subject matter was described. In the 18th chapter, also the summary of all instruction is given. The purpose of life is indicated to be renunciation and attainment of the transcendental position above the three material modes of nature. Arjuna wants to clarify the two distinct subject matters of Bhagavad Gita, namely renunciation, tyaga, and the renounced order of the life, sannyasa. Thus, he is asking meaning of these two words. Two words used in this verse to address the Supreme Lord, Hrishikesha and Kesi Nishudana, are significant. Hrishikesha is Krishna, the master of all senses, who can always help us attain mental serenity. Arjuna requests him to summarize everything in such a way that he can remain equipoised. Yet he has some doubts, and doubts are always compared to demons. He therefore addressed Krishna as the Kesi Nishudana. Kesi was the most formidable demon who was killed by the Lord. Now Arjuna is expecting Krishna to kill the demon of doubt. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, okay. Okay, any question? Yeah, so here, you know, like each and every name that Arjuna is actually addressing Krishna has a significance. So, you know, we can observe in the Bhagavad Gita many places Krishna is addressed in a different way. Right? Here he is addressed as Kesi Nishudana, killer of the Kesi demon. Because demons are, droughts are actually demons because they obstruct our growth in spiritual life. So in you know, with a particular motive and purpose is addressing Krishna in a particular way, depending on the context. Okay, next. Yeah, Tanvi, are you there?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, second
Hello.
Verse.
Okay. Sri Bhagwan Uvacha, Kamyanam Kanyasam, Sanyas Kavayo Vidhu, Sarvakarna Palatyagam, Prahustyagam Vikar. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the giving up of activities that are based on material desire is what great learned men call the renounced order of life, sannyasa. And giving up the result of all activities is what the wise call renunciation, tyaga, purpose. The performance of activities for results has to be given up. This is the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. But activities leading to advanced spiritual knowledge are not to be given up. This will be made clear in the next verses. In the Vedic literature, there are many prescriptions of methods for performing sacrifice for some particular purpose. There are certain sacrifices to perform to attain a good son or to attain elevation to the higher planets, but sacrifices prompted by desire should be stopped. However, sacrifice for the purification of one's heart or for advancement in spiritual science should not be given up.
Okay. So actually, many times there is a confusion amongst devotees that what we should do, because in the Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned that this activity, they should not be sacrificed. And what we have to sacrifice is our ego, or we have to sacrifice our results, right? We have to renounce that. So now, and then obviously everything has to be engaged in Krishna's service. So for someone who is working, generally it is recommended for them that they donate, or especially for Grihastha, it is it's a injunction that they should maintain the other three ashrams, so they have to donate. Okay. And because the Grihastha is like fully like engaged in his work, so he does not have time for generally other services. That's why if he is contributing from his earning, then that is considered to be a good service. Okay. So either he can engage his talents in Krishna service, or he can engage his income in Krishna service. So it is not either or something, but it is actually everything should be engaged in Krishna service, basically. Talents, income, whatever it is. Okay. But the question is now, for those who are... So whether one should retire or not from, let's say the devotees are working hard and, they reach certain age, 50 or 60 years down the line. And so because they have been working since their whole life, so naturally they are attached to their work, they are inclined towards their work, and they engage that money in Krishna service. Okay, and that is how actually the best they can offer to the Lord, because they won't be able to do other services. So then, should the devotees keep continue to work after this age, or should they retire at certain point of time? What is the answer to this question?
If they are able to work, better to work because they are inclined to that and donate.
Okay. But this thing, it has some defect. It has a problem, actually. Okay, so there has to be there should be one more consideration for the devotees who want to engage their work in Krishna service at older age. There is a very important consideration that they should have. So what is that? See, because normally, so then what is the difference between a karmi and a devotee? Even karmis also, they might be donating more than a devotee. They might have that kind of, courage to donate huge amount of money, like for the Lord's service. And they might do it regularly also. So what is the difference between them and the devotees then?
I mean, at any cost, sadhana should not get affected because of aging. Maybe if you are involved in work and all, balancing your sadhana and your whatever you are donating because of your work, it should be properly balanced.
Right. Yeah. So this is a very important consideration, that sadhana is actually the distinguishing factor between a karmi and a devotee. Okay. So now, if sadhana is the most important factor for any devotee, what is the goal of sadhana? What is the goal of sadhana? And see, one more very relevant consideration for aged devotees who are working is, what if their health deteriorates with time? Then obviously they won't be able to work. Correct? So how one has to balance, how one should lead one's spiritual life. That is very important. So if they stop working, then what will they do? Because of the health reasons, if they stop working, what will happen? And what is the goal of sadhana? See, it's a common sense.
Engage yourself in the service of the Lord.
Yeah, engage yourself. So let's say if health is not favoring, that means, so then how can we engage in the service of the Lord?
Through increasing your sadhana.
Correct. Okay. So increasing sadhana means what basically?
If your health is not permitting and you cannot do your
but
physical
you know what, activity. But you know what the problem is? They can't even increase their sadhana because they don't have taste for sadhana at that point of time, because they're too attached to their work.
That's true. Because they're not dependent on the taste.
Yeah, so the goal of sadhana, please note this very important point, that the goal of sadhana, it should go in the mind. Your entire, see, you should be absorbed in Krishna consciousness throughout. So, see, the role of sadhana is, the more dose you take right from the beginning, and obviously you have to balance it. You have to keep a minimum standard, and you have to increase also after some time. Okay. So then what will happen? If you have that taste in sadhana, and if you increase that with time, a point will come where you will have no attraction to material world, no attachment to the material world, and you will be absorbed in. So you will get the natural taste for chanting the holy name, to associate with devotees, to hear, to have, you know, to participate in kirtan, to just fully dedicate yourself. So even though you might see, the problem is that externally we cannot judge things, because what will happen we don't know. So what we can do, max to max, what is in our hands, is that the sadhana has to internalize. Forget about externalized sadhana. That will only give benefit as far as your health is doing good. But as soon as the health goes away, the sadhana, if it is not internalized, then you'll not be able to do anything. So in order for that internalization of the sadhana, one has to follow this strict process of sadhu sangha, and one should cultivate taste in spiritual life. If you lack that taste, then it will be a problem. So see, that is the reason sadhana is actually the key. And sadhana, for whether it is a grihastha or sannyasi or any other devotee, for everyone, sadhana is the most important thing, and the sadhana has to increase. So that finally, see, now tell me one thing, in the sloka, Antakalecha Mahamevam Svaram Mukta Kalevaram, does it mention, Japa Eva Kalevaram, that Antakalecha Mahamevam Japa Eva Kalevaram, does it mention anything like that? It is mentioning Svaram Mukta Antakalecha Mahameva Svaram Mukta Kalevaram, right? At the time of that, Svaram is there. So you can only do remembrance of Krishna if Krishna has entered your mind. It's not necessary, you do external service, your mind will be somewhere else. Because externally, to do service is very easy. It's easy to engage the body and senses. But internalize Krishna, that's the most biggest challenge. So the goal of sadhana is basically to go internally in our Krishna consciousness, which means that you develop love for the Lord. And when the love develops, naturally you think about Him. Okay, so this, see, and majority of the devotees, they neglect this thing. What happens is, I will tell you the fact that in the spiritual circle, the devotees focus more on external achievements and services. And probably, maybe because they are more attached to name, fame, you know. But actually, the real service is to internalize the sadhana. So that's the reason, you know, Bhajanandi is the best Goshnanandi. And if someone can chant the holy name 24 hours a day, you know, he has achieved his goal. Because that is what he is supposed to do at the end of his life. You know? So otherwise, one will be attracted externally and attached to external things more. And they will not be able to remember Krishna so much. And they might not get taste also. So it is true that work can be engaged in Krishna service, and it should be. But at the same time, this internal purification also has to happen, where one has to think of Krishna gradually, you know, it should keep increasing. So smaranam, see, that's the reason. First you hear savanam, then comes kirtanam, then you chant the holy name, and that hearing and chanting will lead you to remembrance of the Lord. So unless you have heard and chanted throughout your life, you cannot remember the Lord. They are very sequence, logical sequence. And obviously, smaranam has multiple stages. You know, and then when you do Radha Rupa Bhakti, that smaranam goes very deep, actually. There's multiple levels then. So we should be careful about this. You know that... we should internalize also, we should internally cultivate our Krishna consciousness also. Otherwise, we will not have taste at the end. Okay, we'll be more attached to our work only. But, you know, if you have still, you know, if you devotees don't get attachment, that kind of attachment at the old age, but if they have pleased their guru, you know, they have like satisfied their guru, then definitely, you know, it will be a... they will achieve a better destination for sure, no doubt about it. But, you know, the conclusion of Shastra is that at the time of that, whatever you think, that state you attain in the next life. So, generally, it is always good, it is always safe to internalize Krishna consciousness. Okay, and remember the Lord as much as possible. Or remember His, you know, form, qualities, pastimes, or, you know, like associate with devotees more and all like that. So see, the real test of your Krishna consciousness will come when, you know, when you have this conviction that even if, let's say, you know, you at this point, if you retire, or at this point you are unable to work, then you should be completely occupied in your Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, you can do Krishna consciousness activities throughout the day. Whether it is chanting, reading, hearing, seva, whatever it is, you should get to this point that, and so basically you can also say that, well, you know, one should come to a stage where one is able to chant continuously. You know, if nothing else, then at least they are able to chant continuously. Okay, but that continuous chanting, obviously now it does not mean that, you know, continuous chanting will probably, you know, it implies remembrance. It does not necessarily imply that, because how you chant the holy name and how the Lord is revealing to you, it's a very exalted thing. Okay, it does not come, because the chanting, it should purify your heart, and the Lord will reveal yourself to Him. The Lord will reveal Himself to Him, to you, basically. Okay, so... So the Lord can only reveal when you have sufficiently pleased the spiritual master, served the devotees, and given Krishna consciousness to others. Nam Ruchi Vaishnava Seva Jivdaya. Only that time the Lord will reveal. Okay. So if you know, but for any devotees who have got taste in Krishna consciousness, so they should always maintain it and they should fan it. Okay. So gradually, that hanker is always there that we want to go full time. So that should be the ultimate goal for all devotees, that we want to dedicate ourselves full time to the Lord. Okay. How and when, you know, that is up to the guru and the disciple. Like, you know, it all depends on case by case. So, like that. So that is the reason, you know, with time, the sadhana plays a very important role, because, you know, when you start taking responsibilities for the Lord's service, that time the sadhana only will actually make you more detached from the material world, and it will, even though you are externally you are doing the service, but internally you will be very strong. Things will not affect you so much. You will be detached. Okay? And you will be determined, you will be enthused also. So sadhana is actually the most important thing. Okay? So any comments or questions about this? Like, I hope it makes sense to everyone. So any comments or questions? Okay, next. Third verse, right? Yeah, okay. Are you all there?
Sruji.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, all right. So, 18.3. Kyajam doshavad
iti eke karma prahur manisina yajnadana tapa karma na kyajam iti chapare.
Some learned men declare that all kinds of fruitive activity should be given up as faulty. Yet other sages maintain that acts of sacrifice, charity and penance should never be abandoned. There are many activities in Vedic literature which are subjects of contention. For instance, it is said that an animal can be killed in a sacrifice, yet some maintain that animal killing is completely abominable. Although animal killing is in a sacrifice is recommended in the Vedic literature, the animal is not considered to be killed. The sacrifice is to give a new life to the animal. Sometimes the animal is given a new life, animal life, after being killed in a sacrifice, and sometimes the animal is promoted immediately to a human form of life. But there are different opinions among sages. Some say that animal killing should always be avoided, and others say that for a specific sacrifice it is good. All these different opinions on sacrificial activity are now being clarified by the Lord Himself. Okay, next. Yeah, so... Yeah, Ujjwala Mataji.
Yes, Prabhu. Nishchayam shrunume tatra tyage bharata sattama tyago hi purusha vyaghra trivida samprakirtitaha. O best of the Bharatas, now hear my judgment about renunciation. O tiger among men, renunciation is declared in the scriptures to be of three kinds. Puppet. Although there are differences of opinion about renunciation, here the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna gives his judgment which should be taken as final. After all, the Vedas are different laws given by the Lord. Here the Lord is personally present and his word should be taken as final. The Lord says that the process of renunciation should be considered in terms of the modes of material nature in which they are performed.
Yeah. So again, the renunciation also of three types. Okay, next. Yeah, Rajiv Prabhu and Madhavi.
Verse 5. Nidana tapa karma na tyagam
कर्म एव तत् यज्ञदानं तपः चैव पावनानि अनुष्ठानम्। Conclusion: acts of sacrifice and penance are not to be given up. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up. They must be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great souls. Perfect. The yogi should perform acts for the advancement of human society. There are many purificatory processes for advancing a human being to spiritual life. The marriage ceremony, for example, is considered to be one of these sacrifices. It is called Vivaha Yajna. Should a sannyasi who is in the renounced order of life and who has given up his family relations encourage the marriage ceremony? The Lord says here that any sacrifice which is meant for human welfare should never be given up. Vivaha Yajna, the marriage ceremony, is meant to regulate the human mind so that it may become peaceful for spiritual development, spiritual advancement. For most men, this Vivaha should be encouraged even by persons in the renounced order of life. Sannyasi should never associate with women, but that does not mean that one who is in the lower stages of life, a young man, should not accept a wife in the marriage ceremony. All prescribed sacrifices are meant for achievement, for achieving the Supreme Lord. Therefore, in the lower stages, they should not be given up. Similarly, charity is for the purification of the heart. If charity is given to suitable persons, as described previously, it leads one to advance spiritual life.
So sacrifice, charity, penances, austerity, they are all favorable for cultivation of spiritual life. They should not be given up in any circumstance. Okay, all right. So next.
18.6. Etani api tu karmani sangham tyaktva phalani cha kartavyaniti ma partha nishchitam matam uttamam. All these activities should be performed without attachment or any expectation of result. They should be performed as a matter of duty or sannyasa. That is my final opinion. Purpose. Although all sacrifices are purifying, one should not expect any result by such performances. In other words, all sacrifices which are meant for material advancement in life should be given up. But sacrifices that purify one's existence and elevate one to the spiritual plane should not be stopped. Everything that leads to Krishna consciousness must be encouraged. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also it is said, any activity which leads to the devotional service of the Lord should be accepted. That is the highest criteria of religion. A devotee of the Lord should accept any kind of work, sacrifice or charity which will help him in the discharge of devotional service to the Lord.
Yeah. Okay. So, I just forgot to mention, in the first verse, that without faith, one does not obtain anything, any result. So, you know, that is the reason I always say that whatever ceremony you are doing or, you know, other people are doing in terms of Shraddha ceremony or whichever ceremony it is, they generally will not get that much result. In fact, the entire process might become, it will become something void because there is no faith in the process. Neither the Brahman who is doing it nor the performer, they don't have faith in the process. And they are just doing as a ritual. So obviously there will be no advantage or no result from that. So I generally do not encourage that kind of processes. And that is the reason when the devotee does something, you know, they do it with faith. So it will probably have some effect. But otherwise, you know, the Shraddha ceremonies that are performed by karmis and gyanis and non-devotees, that will not yield any result because they don't have so much faith. They're just doing as a ritual. Okay. Yeah, next, Jignamati.
Okay. Niyatasya tu sanyasah karmano no papadyate mohatasya parityaga tasmat parikeetitah. Translation. Prescribed duties should never be renounced. If one gives up his prescribed duties because of illusion, such renunciation is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Purpose. Work for material satisfaction must be given up, but activities which promote one to spiritual activity, like cooking for the Supreme Lord and offering the food to the Lord and then accepting the food, are recommended. It is said that a person in the renounced order of the life should not cook for himself. Cooking for oneself is prohibited, but cooking for the Supreme Lord is not prohibited. Similarly, a sannyasi may perform a marriage ceremony to help his disciple in the advancement of the Krishna consciousness. If one denounces such activities, it is to be understood that he is acting in the mode of darkness. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, so there are, you know, there is the higher dharma, there is the lower dharma, and whatever is given in the scripture, it will cover everything. So Prabhupada here is actually mentioning about the higher principle or higher dharma, which is ultimately to satisfy Krishna, or things that are favorable to Krishna consciousness. These are higher principles. They should not be given up. So here also, although the Lord is saying prescribed duty should never be renounced. Okay, but obviously when there is a conflict in prescribed duties and Krishna consciousness, then we select that which is favorable for advancing in spiritual life. And we reject these kind of prescribed duties which become obstacle in Krishna consciousness. So basically the Lord is encouraging all other people that at least they should, because see, if people are not devotees, not all of them are devotees, so obviously they should follow certain dharmic principles by which they can live a good life, or they will attain a good karma, right? So for these kind of people, the Lord will say in a general way, okay? But for a devotee, the prescribed duty should be, it has to be balanced, or it has to be seen in the context of higher principle, and we should reject it if it is obstacle. See, that is the reason the Lord is saying here, prescribed duty should be done, it should not be given up. But then 66th verse says, Sarva Dharman, you know, abandon all types of varieties of religion or duties and surrender to me. That is the highest principle, right? So it might sound contradictory, but actually it is not contradictory, because here the purpose of the Lord saying things, it is for a general population. It is not just meant for devotees, like, because the Bhagavad Gita is read by everyone. So those who are attached to their work, those who are attached to their duties and all, they have to perform their duties, but they should do in a renounced way. They should not be attached to the results. So that's the reason, if you remember, you know, when the Krishna is actually telling Arjuna that there are different ways. So the topmost way is that one has to always remember Krishna, surrendered to him, everything offered to him. You know, that is the highest way of offering ourselves to Krishna. If one cannot do that, then one should follow the regulative injunction of the Shastra and develop a desire to attain him. So basically that is sadhana bhakti. Okay. So the highest level is spontaneous devotion to the Lord. The second is sadhana bhakti, and you know, which means vaidhi bhakti basically. And then he goes down. And so if you cannot do this, then engage your work in my service. Okay. And if you cannot do this, then whatever work you are doing, you be detached from the results and donate for a higher purpose, higher cause, or some self, you know, some kind of you know, social welfare activity like that. So for others, you know, for the benefit of others, you can contribute. So there are different stages and levels of connecting with the duties. Okay, but the highest duty is to surrender to Krishna. So we in ISKCON, we are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so we are not so much attached to the prescribed duties, because Bhagavatam itself very clearly states that you know, if you remember the very famous popular verse in the Bhagavatam that says that even if you fail in your duty, you know, you completely fail in your duty, but if you become a devotee, then you have not lost anything. However, if you do not become a devotee and do your duty perfectly, then you have lost everything. You can lose everything. Okay, so Bhagavatam promotes the highest dharma. Dharma prajita kaitavo. So that dharma which is unconditional loving service to the Supreme Lord. Which is without any ulterior motives and which is uninterrupted. Okay? So this is the highest prescribed duty to become Krishna conscious. That is the reason Prabhupada is actually giving his own example in this purport, because when, you know, generally sannyasis are not supposed to get involved in marriages, and that is according to Vedic injunction, and some of the sannyasis, you know, from the Smartha school or from the Mayavad school or others, you know, they had criticized Prabhupada because, you know, he got involved in marriage ceremonies, he performed the marriage ceremonies, so generally sannyasi is not supposed to do these things according to the injunctions of the Shastra. And sannyasi is also not supposed to cross the sea. Okay, but Prabhupada transgressed all these etiquettes for a higher etiquette, which is to give Krishna consciousness to others and for preaching purpose. Okay, so here that's the reason Prabhupada is mentioning about a sannyasi may perform a marriage ceremony to help his disciple. So otherwise it is understood in the mode of darkness. Okay, so any comment or question? Okay, next. Yeah, Tanvi. Okay, I think she's disconnected. So I will read this verse. 18.8. Dukkham iti eva yat karma kaya klesha bhayatyajet sakritva rajasam tyagam naiva tyaga phalam labhet. Anyone who gives up prescribed duties as troublesome or out of fear of bodily discomfort is said to have renounced in the mode of passion. Such action never leads to elevation of renunciation. What is in Krishna consciousness should not give up earning money out of fear, that is performing fruitive activities. If by working one can engage in money in Krishna consciousness, if by rising early in the morning one can advance his transcendental Krishna consciousness, one should not desist out of fear or because such activities are considered troublesome. Such renunciation is in the mode of passion. The result of passionate work is always miserable. If a person renounces work in that spirit, he never gets the result of renunciation. Right? So, it's very important to maintain and cultivate certain types of prescribed duties or sacrifices we have to perform. Yeah, so because we are not spontaneous devotees, we are like struggling devotees. And that is the reason we have to, in order to maintain our Krishna consciousness, in order to get rid of our past habits, we have to regulate ourselves. So for these things, you know, very important. Okay, next. Srikumar, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay, so ninth verse.
Text 9. Karyam iti eva yat karma niyatam kriyata arjuna sangam tyagatva phalam chaiva. So Arjuna, when one performs prescribed duty only because it ought to be done and renounces all material association and all attachment to the fruit, his renunciation, it is said to be in the mode of goodness. Purpose. Prescribed duties must be performed with this mentality. One should act without attachment for the result. He should be dissociated from the modes of work. And man working the Krishna consciousness in the factory does not associate himself with the work of the factory. nor with the workers of the factory. He simply works for Krishna, and when he gives up the result for Krishna, he is acting transcendently.
Yeah, right. So you know, this is something which is very challenging, because we want to generate maximum profit for the Lord, but at the same time, you know, and for doing that, we have to obviously have a target. So we have to be attached to our work also at the same time. And we have to have some liking for the results also. Otherwise, we won't have that enthusiasm and spirit to do it. Okay, but so that is the reason, you know, it is like advisable that we should donate money from that work. Then it will like liberate us from that karma or from that kind of attachment. Okay, so yeah, so working for the pleasure of Krishna, that is actually the most important. Okay, any comment or question? Next. Yeah, Ujjwala Mataji.
Yes, sir. Nadveshti akushalam karma kushali nanushanchate tyagi sattva samavishto medhavi chinna samsayaha. The intelligent renouncer situated in the mode of goodness, neither hateful of inauspicious work nor attached to the auspicious work, has no doubts about work. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness or in the mode of goodness does not hate anyone or anything which troubles his body. He does work in the proper place and at the proper time without fearing the troublesome effects of his duty. Such a person situated in transcendence should be understood to be most intelligent and beyond all doubts in his activities.
Yeah, so this is in the mode of goodness. Okay, so we can continue in the next verse, in the next class. Any comment or question? So I forgot to send that Maharaj, wishes, you know, that he had written to me. That's why I will do it now. I will send everyone, like in the group.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay, all right. So thank you for joining. Hare Krishna. Dhanva Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Dhanva Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Dhanva Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Dhanva Pranam.